Calling all podcast fans, Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new shows to love. Get personalized episode recommendations and easily preview them before you dive right in. Find exclusive video episodes from your favorite hosts and guests. And with some, you can even connect with them through polls and Q&A directly within their episodes. It's everything you want in one app. So what are you waiting for? Try the podcast experience today on Spotify.
Hello.
Hey, come on in.
Great.
We're kicking off today's show with a Fact Buddy session. I'm going to attempt to use facts to wow a special Australian celebrity guest. Hey, Wendy Zuckerman.
Hi, Flora Lichtman.
Host of Gimlet Podcast Science Versus.
Host of Gimlet Podcast Every Little Thing.
Whoa, is this going to be the whole conversation?
Is this going to be the whole? No, sorry.
This is your first time fact buddying with us, right?
I know. I'm a fact buddy virgin.
We thought to get in the mood, we should put on some music.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm up for it. Do you know how old that song is?
That's not what you listen to every morning to get ready for work?
Ugh.
I'm sensing this isn't landing. You know what? Let's try this, see if this makes you feel more at home.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
That's a knife.
Is this workplace harassment?
Look, I'm going to lean in.
Okay, Wendy, here's why we're here.
Okay.
One of our listeners sent us an intriguing fact about wombats, an Australian animal, just like you. And this led us down a wombat hole. And we thought, who might be interested in these womb facts?
Me. I really like wombats.
Really?
Yeah. I love their butts. Like, have you seen a wombat? It's like the entire animal is a butt.
Your interest in their butts is perfect.
If I had a penny every time someone told me that.
No, really, because here's what wombat researcher Elise Swinburne told us.
Yeah, there's a lot of butt stuff involved with wombats.
I knew it!
So you've seen a couple in the wild?
Yes.
Describe them for me.
Imagine if you had, I guess, a very small bear about the size of a raccoon, I guess.
Yeah, they're furry. Kind of stocky, although they're really fast. They can run 25 miles per hour.
With those little legs?
Yes. They're marsupials.
That doesn't surprise me, because every special Australian animal is a marsupial. Like, you know, an echidna. You're like, what's a pouch doing on you?
So wombats live underground in burrows, or interconnected burrows called warrens. Have you had any firsthand experience with these?
I've seen the entry to the warrens. I always, like, pop my head in, but, like, the chance one's going to pop out.
I think by the end of this Fact Buddy session, you will never think about popping your head in a warren again.
Oh, whoa. This is bigger than I thought.
This brings us to the butt stuff. Wendy, what do you know about wombats?
I know very little, other than their poo comes out in a square, cube-like shape.
Yes, and that was the tip that we got from an Every Little Thing listener, shout out to Ivy, that set us down this road. And it's true. Here's wombat researcher Elise again.
It is cuboidal, yes.
Cuboidal, yeah.
But really, imagine a brownie bite.
And then I guess, like, it would suggest that their anus, like, has some kind of square sphincter. That's just, like, me freeballing. Yeah.
Balling. Is that Australian for spitballing? No square sphincter, no rectangular intestines.
So then why?
So it all comes down to the diet and how much water is available in their diet.
In the wild, they eat dry shrubs and grasses, and the food can stay in their intestines for weeks.
Their gut basically just compacts all of their food to get as much moisture out as possible.
That's amazing. And then it compacts in a square shape.
ridges on the sides of the intestine flatten out those chewed shrubs as they move along, and it's so dry by the end that it comes out in hard bricks.
I guess Australia's pretty dry.
So you knew this fact.
I did.
Not ideal for a fact buddy where we're really trying to give you something new to work with.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're not buddies yet.
That's right.
We're like acquaintances.
If that.
Get me to friend level, to buddy level.
I am trying. I want you to leave this fact buddy astounded with a new fact that you are going to drop at your next Barbie over a cold one.
Foster's, Australian for beer.
You know, no one actually drinks Foster's in Australia.
This Australian's going to drink one.
What? That's like a...
You're welcome.
Listeners, you're about to experience the very first Australian to have a Foster's since 1983. It's okay.
All right, back to the butts. The cuboidal poop is not the only thing happening down under.
Females and males are highly aggressive when it comes to mating. A female will bite a male on the ass and then run away to initiate a chase.
A bite on the tushy.
And that bite sparks a terrifying mating ritual. Here's Elise again.
Oh, it is so aggressive, so assertive, and it can be scary.
I mean, their legs are just so little, it's hard to imagine them having sex at all.
Well, if you wanted to watch a video, you could.
I filmed it. I was trying to get behavior, and there's fur flying everywhere. All you hear is this, rah, rah, females kicking him in the face. This is an awful description. Because I look like I was filming this snuff film. It's awful.
Does this get us to buddy level?
Well, all right. So I am very close.
But not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. Just because I feel like a lot of animals get pretty aggressive, or in our human minds, we see what's happening and see it as aggressive. So it doesn't surprise me so much.
Mm. Well, I hope this last detail does surprise you, because it's about how the wombat uses its rump in a really inspiring way.
Oh, wow, this really is very butt-focused, isn't it?
As advertised. So I want you to be able to imagine this animal's butt clearly. And we got a vivid description from another wombat researcher, Julie Old.
It's flat like a top of a table or like a shield, really flat like that. Firm.
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 All right. So what can they do with these firm butts?
Well, they can use it in an impressive way, I suppose. So when wombats are down their burrow, if there's a predator like a dog coming down into the burrow, it can use its butt to like block the entrance. And then if that predator tries to climb over the back of the wombat, it will use its butt and push it up and squash the predator against the top of the burrow.
They can crush skulls with their firm butts.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is how I want to go, I've decided.
Squashed by a wombat butt.
Yeah, my head's crushed.
And just as you fall down, you'll just see this tiny cube-shaped poo. Your final vision. Wow. And so that's why you told me not to put my head in Wombat Warrens. Noted.
Wendy, I feel like we got there. I can hear the astonishment in your voice.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Do you think you would drop this fact over a bloomin' onion?
I didn't even get that.
Do you not know what a bloomin' onion is?
Is it like a specific concept?
Yes, it is definitely a specific concept. It's served at Outback Steakhouse. It's an onion cut to look like a flower, battered and deep fried. And I'm just going to pull up an image for you.
Ah!
This is not Australia's national dish.
There is nothing Australian about that. What lightning bulb went off in someone's mind to give them that bloomin' onion?
What lightning bulb?
Who came up with this?
We're going to find out. After the break, the surprising origin story of the bloomin' onion. Okay, here's where we left off. We were pondering the very important question, where did the Bloomin' Onion come from? Who invented this iconic app?
I can tell you.
Hello, Phoebe Flanagan, ELT producer.
This is a story about a signature dish that was just too delicious to be confined to a single kitchen.
I assume we are starting at Outback because, in my mind, it is synonymous with Bloomin' Onion.
100%.
At Outback Steakhouse, we like our resolutions big and bold, like the loaded Bloomin' Onion. It's a Bloomin' Onion topped with our Aussie cheese.
I mean, Outback is the king of the Bloomin' Onion, right? They've sold more than $1 billion worth of these things. And by the way, like, yes, confirmed, definitely not an Australian food. None of the co-founders of Outback had even been to Australia when they started the restaurant.
All we did was go to the movie, Crocodile Dundee movie. So we thought that would become a criticism, is that it's really not Australian food, but it never has been.
This is Tim Gannon. He's one of the co-founders of Outback, and he's the guy who got the Bloomin' Onion onto Outback's menu.
It's really much more than a bold flavor fried onion. I mean, I think it's a work of art, you know, if you ask me personally, and I think a lot of people agree with that, that it's a culinary work of art.
What if you were going to say, like, in the canon of art, where does this art piece belong?
Very close to Michelangelo's David.
So the Bloomin' Onion is the David of food.
I will put it right there.
I'm imagining a carved stone Bloomin' Onion in a Florence piazza.
He actually has like a golden statue of a Bloomin' Onion in his home.
So how did he come up with it? Did he look at a Renaissance painting of a flower and say, that's an appetizer?
No.
You know, I never say I created the Bloomin' Onion. I say I developed it.
Tim Gannon is not the Michelangelo of fried onions. That honor goes to someone else.
Okay. Well, you finally got the right person. My name is George Barnes.
You sound a little out of breath.
I'm in Aspen, Colorado, hiking up a hill. That would be why I'm out of breath. And
this guy, George, witnessed the birth of the OGBO.
Onion, which was taken, the idea was taken from a restaurant that I opened up as general manager in New Orleans called Russell's Marina Grill. That's where the dish was invented. That's where it was put on my menu. And anybody else that says anything is full of shit.
Okay, so here's what happened. In the mid-80s, George was hired to open up this restaurant, and he brought his friend on board, this other guy, Jeff Glowski. He's also a chef. And they wanted something that was going to set the restaurant apart.
You know, I was looking for that one item to identify the restaurant as our signature, whatever. So Jeff and I were sitting around looking at a bunch of cookbooks, and we had a book of food garnishes, Japanese book of art of carving different fruits and vegetables into different flowers, and we came across this onion flower. So I said, yeah, you know, we got two fryers back there. Let's figure out how to turn this thing into an onion ring dish, you know, fried up, whatever. So
what made you guys think, you know what we should do? Let's fry this baby.
Because we fry everything in New Orleans. We fry everything.
Do you remember what you thought the first time you tasted it?
I said, this is great, Jeff. We got a winner here. He was the inventor, and I believed in it. And that's why I put it on the menu.
They called it the Onion Mum.
Well, chrysanthemum, that's what it was in the book. So it was an abbreviation for chrysanthemum mum.
Was this like a top seller?
Yeah, we couldn't keep enough of them. We prepped, you know, 90 of them a day. It was a 90-seat restaurant, so pretty much every table that came in got one. I mean, it was the thing that put us on the map. That was it.
Enter Tim Gannon. He was working in the restaurant business in New Orleans at the time, and he was on the lookout for a breakout hit. he heard about the Onion Mom and decided to go by Russell's to check it out.
I walk in, I said, oh my God, look, it's golden brown flour. Oh my God, this is like most beautiful thing you've seen. It's perfectly manicured. You pull each petal out one by one, like a flower petals. I mean, it's just an ingenious idea.
It was love at first sight.
I said, this is it. This is something that can create a national chain and compel people to drive traffic and to talk about it. And it can be the greatest marketing tool of a restaurant.
So Tim brings this onion as flour concept back to the Outback co-founders. They tinker with the recipe, rebrand it, and Outback takes off. And as for George and the Onion Mom crew?
We weren't surprised. These things happen in business, and they were going to do what they were going to do. They were big corporate money. You can't copyright food. So, plagiarism is the ultimate form of flattery.
I don't think that's the expression. But you know what? He doesn't sound bitter about it.
Well, he knows the truth. He knows where the Bloomin' Onion began. In a deep fryer in New Orleans.
So, that's the story. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have time for just a couple more questions? There's a few things I'd love to clarify
with you.
You're
asking me too many questions, and I'm gonna leave you now with your imagination and the power of Google.
If you have a question, something that you need help getting an answer to, give us a ring, 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT. Next week, we're going as low as we can go into the origin story of the cha-cha slide.
Everybody clap your hands. Come on, y'all.
You do not want to miss it.
Every Little Thing is produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Aaron Reese, Bradley Campbell, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Ian Chillog and Caitlin Kinney are our consulting editors. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. Firm.